Welcome to HN Pod, the daily podcast where we dive into the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is episode 355, and we are covering the top stories from yesterday, April 3rd, 2026. We have a really fascinating mix of topics today. We are looking at a cool project bringing back the indie web, a new tool that unlocks the hidden AI on your Mac, some absolutely stunning photography from the Artemis II crew, the ongoing drama with Oracle layoffs and H-1B visas, and finally, a major geopolitical story about an F-15E jet shot down over Iran and the tech implications behind it.
It is a packed show, so let us jump right into the first story. This was a show HN titled, I Built a Front Page for Personal Blogs. It got almost 700 points. The project is called Blogosphere, and the creator, Ram Karthik, built it to highlight people who write frequently on personal blogs across a bunch of different categories.
I love seeing projects like this. The creator explicitly mentioned that with social media and now the flood of AI-generated content, it is really important to keep the indie web alive. Blogosphere actually has two versions. There's a minimal version that is very fast, static, and clearly inspired by the Hacker News interface itself. And then there's a modern version that feels a bit more like a contemporary feed.
The comments on this were a massive nostalgia trip. People were talking about how we're basically regressing back to web rings and hand-curated lists, but nobody was saying that as a bad thing. A user named Hardspace pointed out that the drop in search engine quality wasn't quite enough to bring web rings back, but the absolute predominance of AI content is finally pushing people over the edge.
Exactly. We are all looking for human connection again. There was a great subthread where people were debating the best way to reboot the social web. A user named Fleur suggested that we are probably going to reinvent Google Circles. Remember that? The idea is that we will all retreat into these overlapping digital villages where we actually trust the people not to be bad faith actors or AI bots.
But of course, it wouldn't be Hackam News without some UI critique. Susum jumped in to point out that the modern version uses infinite scroll, which makes it literally impossible to reach the footer of the page. The creator was super responsive, admitting they prefer the minimal version anyway, but added infinite scroll because people are just so used to it from social media. It's funny how we've trained ourselves to expect these endless feeds, even when we're trying to escape them.
Speaking of escaping the cloud and taking control of your tech, our next story is another show HN. This one is called Appful, the free AI already on your Mac. It pulled in over 650 points and over 1,000 stars on GitHub in just a few days.
This is so clever. So starting with macOS 26, which is macOS Tahoe, Apple started shipping a built-in large language model as part of Apple Intelligence. But out of the box, Apple only uses it for Siri and some system writing tools. They locked it away from developers, unless you want to write a full Swift application using their Foundation Models framework.
Right, and that is where Appful comes in. A developer named Franze built a Swift binary that acts as a wrapper around this hidden LLM. It exposes it in three ways. You can use it as a Unix command line tool where you can pipe text into it, just like Grapper Awk. You can use it as an interactive chat, or, and this is the killer feature, it runs as an OpenAI-compatible local server.
That means you can take any existing code you have that talks to OpenAI, change the base URL to localhost, and suddenly you are running your queries locally for free on Apple Silicon. It uses the neural engine and the GPU. Nothing leaves your machine. And it has a 4,096 token context window. They even included some awesome shell scripts, like one called Mac Narrator that narrates your system activity like a nature documentary.
The discussion on Hacker News immediately zeroed in on the privacy implications. A user named Convexly pointed out that the privacy angle for local models is just going to keep getting stronger as more companies accidentally leak data to cloud models.
But the pushback in the comments was really interesting. Cousin It brought up a great point, saying that local inference is only half the solution. If the model itself is trained in a closed way, like Apple's is, it could theoretically prioritize values encoded during training. Some users even speculated about the risk of a local model injecting an exfiltration mechanism if you ask it to write code for you.
Yeah, the paranoia was real, but justified. Someone pointed out that if you run a model in YOLO mode, it could just invoke curl and send your data away anyway.
But overall, the consensus is that Opful is a brilliant piece of engineering. It defaults to safe settings, like turning off cross-origin resource sharing by default, so random web pages can't hijack your local AI port. It is a massive win for local development.
Shifting gears from local tech to outer space, our third story is about the Artemis II crew taking what NASA calls a spectacular image of Earth. This mission is a huge deal. It is the first time since 1972 that humans have traveled outside of Earth's orbit.
The photo is breathtaking. It was taken by the mission commander, Reid Wiseman. It shows the Earth looking upside down to us, with the Western Sahara and Iberian Peninsula on the left, and the Atlantic Ocean glowing blue. You can see green auroras at the poles, the thin line of the atmosphere, and even Venus shining brightly in the bottom right corner.
And Wiseman had this great quote where he called down to mission control and said taking photos at that distance felt like walking out back at your house and trying to take a picture of the moon. He even had to ask how to clean the spacecraft windows because the crew had been pressing their faces against the glass so much they got them dirty.
But the Hacker News comment section did what it does best. They completely ignored the poetry of the moment and immediately started forensically analyzing the image metadata. A user named Hannes Furr pulled the EXIF data and found out the shot was taken with a Nikon D5 using a 14-24mm f2.8 lens and processed in Lightroom.
The photography nerds came out in full force. They were debating the ISO settings. The camera was cranked up to ISO 51,200 with a quarter-second exposure time. Somebody pointed out how incredibly steady Wiseman's hands must have been to get a sharp image at a quarter of a second. Though another user suggested they might have just let the camera float in microgravity to stabilize it.
There was also this deep dive into how image compression works with RAW files versus JPEGs. People were arguing about whether brightening an image in Lightroom creates noise or just reveals the shot noise that is already there. It is just so classic Hacker News to look at a historic photo of our home planet from deep space and spend 50 comments arguing about lossless compression algorithms. But honestly, I wouldn't have it any other way.
Same here. All right, let us come back down to Earth and talk about the tech industry. Our fourth story is a bit heavier. The headline is, Oracle files thousands of H-1B visa petitions amid mass layoffs. This piece from Austin Today noted that Oracle filed for over 3,000 foreign worker visas over the last two fiscal years, right as they are cutting thousands of American jobs.
This is a really sensitive topic, and the headline definitely triggered a strong reaction. The article frames it as Oracle potentially replacing American workers with cheaper foreign labor, but the HN comments did a really good job of adding nuance and cutting through the sensationalism.
Right. The top comment by PJ Mook pointed out that the largest chunk of Oracle's recent layoffs actually happened in India, where they cut around 10% of a 28,000-person workforce. They argued that the narrative of replacing U.S. workers is a distraction, noting that IT workers are not perfectly interchangeable, and America is currently sitting at near full employment anyway.
But that comment got some serious pushback. A user named SaulPW replied saying they personally know several people laid off from Oracle's cloud infrastructure division in North America this week. They quoted an insider calling it a bloodbath and estimating 15,000 cuts. So the idea that American workers aren't being affected seems highly contested.
There was also a lot of discussion about how the visa timeline actually works. A user named DCreator pointed out that most of the petitions for fiscal year 2026 are just continuing approvals for existing employees, not brand new hires. And the petitions for 2025 were filed over the summer, long before these March layoffs were even announced.
The conversation also spiraled into a macro debate about the economy. When someone claimed the U.S. is at full employment, others quickly brought up the difference between the U3 and U6 unemployment rates. The U3 only counts people actively looking for work, while the U6 includes underemployed people and those who have given up looking. It really highlighted the anxiety in the tech job market right now. Even highly skilled engineers with decades of experience are feeling the squeeze and struggling to find roles that match their expertise.
It is definitely a tough time in the industry. And speaking of tough times, our final story today is a major international news event. The Guardian reported that an American F-15E Strike Eagle fighter jet was shot down over Iran.
This is a massive escalation in the ongoing conflict. The U.S. military confirmed that one crew member was rescued in a highly complex operation, but search and rescue teams are still looking for the second airman. Iranian state media was broadcasting images of the wreckage, and aviation experts quickly identified the tail fin markings as belonging to the 494th Squadron, based out of the UK.
The context here is staggering.
A commenter named Roadbuster pointed out that during the entire Gulf War in 1990 and 1991, only two F-15s were shot down by surface-to-air missiles, and Baghdad had the highest density of anti-air defenses in the world at the time. The fact that an F-15 was shot down now, after weeks of U.S. strategic bombing aimed at taking out Iranian air defenses, shows just how capable these modern defense systems have become.
The Hacker News community brought a really unique analytical lens to this military conflict. The discussion pivoted heavily into the technology and economics of modern warfare. A user named Bijowo1676 broke down the staggering financial and strategic cost happening behind the scenes. They pointed out that Iran hasn't just been shooting at planes. They have been targeting the massive radar installations across the Middle East.
Right. They mentioned the AN/FPS-132 radars, which cost over $1 billion each. The comment claimed that multiple radar sites across the region have been damaged or blinded. And because these systems rely heavily on rare earth minerals, repairing them could take years, if not decades, due to supply chain bottlenecks.
The thread also got deep into the asymmetric nature of drone warfare. We are seeing a complete inversion of military economics. You have defense networks firing $3 to $5 million Patriot interceptor missiles to shoot down Shahed drones that cost maybe $7,000 to build. The commenters drew a lot of parallels to the tactics developed over the last few years in Ukraine, noting how swarm attacks are designed specifically to exhaust expensive interceptor inventories.
It really paints a picture of how rapidly military technology is shifting. It is no longer just about who has the fastest jet, but who can sustain the economic burn rate of automated drone swarms and radar degradation. It is a sobering reality check on how fragile some of these multi-billion dollar defense networks can actually be when faced with cheap, scalable technology.
It absolutely is. And that wraps up our stories for today. From the cozy corners of the indie web and local AI, all the way to orbital photography and the heavy realities of the tech job market and global conflicts.
Thank you all so much for listening to HN Pod. We really appreciate you spending part of your day with us.
We will be back tomorrow with more of the top stories and best comments from Hacker News.
See you then.